Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Paul writes Romans around 56 AD. It's 21-ish years into his ministry. Just to give us context, for 10 years now, he's been planting churches around the Mediterranean area. On the very end of his third mission trip, he writes this book to a church of Jews and Gentiles. And some key things, he really hits on righteousness, faith, justified, law, and grace. Those are the really high priorities in this book. Just to refresh us, make sure that we're all remembering all of these big points that we've been working through. In the very beginning, we talked about many of us in our pursuit of following after Jesus, if we were left to follow the law, it'd be like swimming to Hawaii. Y'all remember this? If three people try to swim to Hawaii, none of them are gonna make it, but someone's gonna get further. And many of us Christians today, instead of looking at the calling that God has for us, we just evaluate how we are compared to other people. And as long as we're swimming further than others, we justify ourselves and feel good about ourselves. But we can't get as far as God's called us to. So we need Jesus and the cross. We need his sacrificial gift to help us get, because of grace, where we never could get on our own. And if we lose sight of the grace of God, we'll end up living our entire life just comparing ourselves amongst other people that we swam further than. Y'all still with me? Do y'all remember when? So we do like a communion of Red Bull, so we get, you know, juiced up. Are y'all okay? Just because you swim further than someone else doesn't mean you can get where you're called to. And you need the grace of God. But too many of us Christians today are just evaluating ourselves amongst ourselves. But you were never, can I say it this way? You were never meant to be like someone else. You're meant to be like Jesus. So you don't need to compare yourself to me, because you're not supposed to be like me. And so just because you swam further than someone doesn't mean you're gonna get where you're called to, unless it's for the grace of Jesus. Talked about that sacrificial gift, that in the Old Testament, when they would bring an animal as a sacrifice to the temple, the priest would look at the sacrifice, not the person. So you need to remember this, because many of us are living in a world that we keep condemning ourselves, beating ourselves up, acting like we're not usable, like God can't use us, God can't anoint us, God can't, God, I'm disqualified because I'm so messed up. And that's not the way sacrifice worked. The priest never looked at the person, the priest always looked at the sacrifice. And as long as the sacrifice was perfect, the person was forgiven. So when God is looking at Jesus, he goes, perfect sacrifice, you're good. So stop living in this world, I'm bad, God can't use me, God can't forgive. No, he looked at the sacrifice, not the person. It's because of the grace of Jesus. It's because he paid the price for us. He did what we couldn't do. We talked a lot about the law and how it's worked out, and how the law doesn't put sin in me, it reveals the sin that's already there. Y'all ever walked by a wall that's painted, got the sign on it, wet paint, don't touch? How many of y'all touch the paint? I got a room of people that are honest and tell me they touch the paint. The other group of y'all just lying, okay? Y'all, you know you do. You're like, it's not that wet. It's not that wet. Sign be lying. Did the wall make you cross the line? No, it pulled out of you a desire already in you that wanted to step over the line. See, so the law, the rules, the way to live in the Old Testament, that doesn't produce sin in us. It reveals the sin that was already there. See, the candy bar at the store is not saying, steal me, take it, take me. Candy bar don't care. It's when someone said don't steal, they drew a line, and then in you, you're like, I want it. It revealed in you what was already there. See, so the law is perfect. The law is the perfect way that God called all of us to live. It just reveals in us that sin nature that wants to rebel against it. Okay, so today I want to talk about faith. In Romans, over 40 times, Paul references faith. Another 20 times, he references belief. So all throughout this book, there's 16 chapters. The last one barely talks about it. So in just over 14 and a half-ish chapters, Paul is like, faith, faith, faith. I talk about faith. Have you heard about faith? Do you know about faith? Let's talk about believing. We got to believe. He's just nonstop, 14 plus chapters. It is so dense on faith and believing. He wants you to make sure you get this point. In how you're called to live today as a Christian, faith is, well, let's just read it. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, maybe the core verse for this whole book. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith. See, this frustrates me because too many of us have attended churches or have signed up for a Christianity that says, I come to Jesus by faith, but now the rug gets pulled out under me, and now it's all about works. Now I got to look right, act right, talk right, sound. I got to look like a Christian. Now that I'm saved, it has to be. No. It's from faith to faith, not from faith to works. Not from faith to peer pressure. Not from faith to act right. Not from faith to look. No, it's from faith to faith. If the Bible was a GPS coordinate, it would say, please merge onto faith and continue for 100 miles. Now, would you turn left on faith? Take a right on faith? Merge back onto faith? Keep ahead for faith. It's just faith and then faith and then faith. Like if God ever gave you a test, every answer, faith. Faith. I don't know how I'm gonna overcome Jericho. Faith. How do I beat this giant? Faith. How do I overcome this lion's den? Faith. What about this fire? Faith. What about following Jesus? Faith. How about my wife? Faith. Come on, somebody. How about raising these kids? Faith. What about the business that God put in your heart? Faith. How do I live like Jesus? Faith. How do I talk like Jesus? Faith. What about miracles? Faith. Signs of faith. It's just faith. It's just faith. Faith. Then what? Faith. What about after that? Faith. Well, what comes next? Faith. It's just faith. Is there anything else? Faith. Why do you think we named this Christian Faith Center? It's just faith. It's just faith. That's all you got. Faith. It's from faith to faith because the just live by it. That's what we live by. That's the air we breathe. How do you see? By faith. How do you talk? By faith. How do you live? By faith. It's just faith. The just live by faith. That's what we believe. My faith is my beliefs in Jesus. I believe Jesus is my healer. I believe Jesus is my provider. I believe he's my refuge. I believe he's my strength. I believe he died on the cross for me. It's what I believe. And because it's what I believe, it's how I live. I live by faith. I live believing he's gonna heal me. I live believing he's gonna defend me. I live believing he's more than enough for me. I live believing no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's how I live. Can I say it this way? You already are living out your beliefs. Question is, what beliefs is your life projecting? You're already living them out. When you get sick, what do you truly believe? When a door closes, what do you truly believe? When you lose a job, what do you truly believe? When the world gets fearful, what do you believe? Who do you turn to as the solution? Oh, we got to get more seats in the house. Oh, we got to get this person elected. Oh, we got to get that. That's good, and I hope you get one of those. But you need Jesus. What do you turn to? We live by faith. We live by this. And many of us are living by our beliefs. The problem is our beliefs aren't fully in Jesus. So we're living, supplementing our life with our broken beliefs. I think Jesus can heal me, but I'm not sure that he will. Come on, so I'm preaching better than this third service is agreeing. I believe that he can provide. I'm not sure that he will provide. I know he can take down this giant. I'm not sure if he's going to use me to take down this giant. I know that he can tear down wall. I know that he can help me overcome it. I know that he can. I just don't know if he will. And because we have those doubts in our belief, we start supplementing it with other answers. So I'm going to use this doctor and this medicine and this politician and this money and this job. I'm going to supplement all of these other plan Bs just to make sure that if God doesn't come through, I still got a backup. That's not how you're called to live. You're called to live from faith to faith. I would rather wake up and look at Jesus like, did I die? I didn't. I'm just still living in faith. I took this faith all the way to eternity. I didn't stop believing in a moment like, he's not going to know. My last breath is going to be in faith. I'm going to lead in my marriage with faith. I'm going to pair my kids with faith. I'm going to start that company with faith. When the economy goes back down, and it will, I'm going to stand in faith. When interest goes up even more, I'm going to stand in faith. When the school systems gets worse, I'm going to stand in faith. When politics is no longer the answer, I'm still living in faith. If I get sick, I'm going to believe that God is my healer. See, it's just I'm all shouty right now. I'm all stirred up. It's just faith. We got to live by this, walk with this, from faith to faith. Here, what else does Paul say about faith in Romans? Here, go with me to Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He gave you the answer. Hey, God, how do I grow my faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But I need more faith. Hear more God. But faith comes by hearing. See, it's a muscle that I can develop. I'm not, just because I don't have that much faith today doesn't mean I can't have more faith tomorrow. Just because you walked into the gym doesn't mean you're in shape. I'm gonna leave it there. I'm not gonna make fun of no one. Okay, I'm just gonna move on from that. Help me, Jesus. But man, how many of us just wish it was a shot, a pill, a vitamin, just a supplement? Give me a supplement in the morning and call it a day. No, you gotta go to the gym and do some dang curls. You gotta pick up that actual weight. See, just because I lifted weights one time doesn't mean now I'm jacked. Like, whoa. One curl, look at what God did. Won't he do it? Come on, somebody. Now you gotta go consistently, faithfully. You can't just walk into church and be like, look at this faith giant up in here. That's right. Came once this month. I'm about to cast out some demons around here. No, you gotta come faithfully. And that's not even, just because you come every Sunday doesn't mean that's enough. You got to lean into the word of God yourself. You got to hear God consistently. Are you hearing? Faith comes by hearing. It's proven. They've done enough studies already from anti-Christian groups that prove that since COVID, that the only group of people in America that didn't take a massive mental decline was weekly going church attenders. Have y'all seen that? Like it's like the only group in America that didn't take a mental decline was church attenders. You gotta go weekly. The people that went consistently, faithfully to church, the only group that, so this is a massive part in your journey, in your faith walk, but it's not all of it. You can't rely on me to give everything you're gonna need. You gotta hear from God. Faith comes by hearing. And it says, and hearing by the word of God. I love that little ad. You gotta catch that. Don't miss that last part, that little nugget, that little, you're hearing me by a microphone. This is magnifying my voice. It's amplifying my voice so you can hear me more clear. So I don't got to just shout all morning for the back row. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What are you hearing by? What, can I say it this way? What magnifies what you hear? There was a little, I love this, it was really funny. This guy was going from protest to protest interviewing people. And I was just laughing at this clip online because he would go to a protest, maybe a march or a rally, so to speak. And he would ask people if they agreed with the statement, but he kept changing who was said the statement. So he'd be at a rally where he assumed majority of the people there were gonna promote one president towards another and make a statement, but change the author. So he'd be at a rally where people would probably promote President Obama, and he would say a statement, and they're like, yeah, that's true, because Obama said it, that's right. And he goes, would you be shocked? Actually, I misquoted, it's actually Trump that said it. And they're like, well, you know, squirrel, even a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while. You know, it's like, clock's right twice, you know, broken clocks work right twice a day. Like, they would back up. Why? Because they agreed with the statement because of the author. But when they were mistaken, they really didn't know what they stood for. And vice versa, he would go to other groups and he would make a statement and a Trump supporter would be like, oh yeah, I agree with that. But would you be shocked that actually Obama said that? And they're like, well, you know, what does that mean? That means that those people, maybe not everyone, but those people that made the video were magnifying who said it over what was said. So whatever someone said, I agree with that. Many of us today are putting microphones to the wrong source. And so if mama said it, we believe it. If that preacher said it, we believe it. If that politician said it, we believe it. If so-and-so said it, I believe it. Have you put a microphone to the word of God so that you hear what God says? Can I say it this way? Have you made God's word your filter for what you accept into your spirit? So the world says, oh, it's getting dark. And you're like, but what does God say? What does God say? The doctor said you're sick, but God said I'm healed. Who holds the microphone? Who's louder in your head? Who's louder? Who's louder? So you just want me to ignore the doctor? No, I want you to engage more with God. Who are you listening to more? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of God. Who are you hearing by? Who are you magnifying? Who are you? Who is the filter in which, oh yeah, I believe in that because that person said it. No, if God said it, I believe it. He's my provider. Stamp it. Approved. Done. Locked. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. If he said it, I believe it. Yeah, but you don't know. Don't you know what you used to do? But he said I'm forgiven. I'm not arrogant or condescending, or I'm not prideful. I'm simply saying you're believing the wrong story. You're trying to evaluate and judge me by my past. I choose to trust God and believe him, and he said I'm forgiven. He said I'm his righteousness. He said I'm still anointed. I still got the grace of God on my life. I still got the call of God on my life. So I know what I've done, but that's not more true than who God's called me to be. Yeah, the doctor said I'm sick. He said I'm healed. Who are you gonna listen to? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did you learn to speak? How did you learn the language that you speak? We got a pretty diverse church, so I can't just say, how'd you learn English? Most of y'all learned different languages first, which is honestly amazing at our church. We got, what is it, 2 weeks? International Sunday in 2 weeks. Y'all ready for this? I love the beauty of the church. So whatever the language was that you learned first, how'd you learn it? Do you have to go to school? Wait, hold up. You learned an entire language and you didn't need an English teacher? Not an English teacher for y'all. What'd you learn first? Hebrew. EPO. So you need an EPO teacher. How would they say that? Not an English teacher. Okay. How'd you learn that first? You learned it at home. Okay, so you didn't need a degree to learn that language. You didn't need a teacher. Yeah, wait, so you're 2 years old learning the master a language. That's brilliance. You listen. You hear your parent over and over and over and over, and all of a sudden you say something, and you say something, and you just keep hearing, and you keep hearing, and you keep speaking, and all of a sudden, it didn't take a college degree or a professor to learn something that might be one of the hardest things on the planet to learn, an entire language. You learned it all from listening. And you over here acting like it's hard to hear God. Faith is a language, and it comes from hearing. You gotta hear God, hear God, hear God. And some of y'all are like, well, God doesn't talk very much. Have you ever evaluated how thin these pages are? God's pretty chatty. Look at all this he told you. Look, he's talking for hours a day. Oh, God doesn't talk very much to me. You should engage more. You gotta hear. Faith comes by hearing. So what is he saying? And I catch this. What is the first thing, really in context, the thing you hear the most when you're learning a language? Identity. At least for me, my kids, Levi, Levi, Levi. Levi, don't. Levi, come. Levi, don't. Ah, Levi. Ah, Levi. Oh, why? Because I want him to know that I'm speaking to him. I'm not just speaking. I'm speaking to him. Buddy, come here. Buddy. And then he looks. Don't touch. So touch. Don't touch. Don't touch. Pull sister's hair. I'm like, Levi, let go of Nora's hair. I'm just identity, identity, identity. So he knows that I'm talking to him. I'm talking to him. Well, you know what God starts with? Your identity. You're called. You're gifted. You're a mighty man. You're forgiven. He's just identity, identity, identity. So that you know who he's speaking to. Forgiven, forgiven. He's just trying to speak identity so that you start to learn who you are as you start to step into this language of faith. You got to hear. What is it that you listen to the most? What do you listen to the most? News? Social media? Sports, do-it-yourself projects, little home renovations. Some of y'all can make a brand new kitchen from a YouTube video, but telling me you can't hear from God. Y'all taught yourself how to change your brakes, but can't process. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You hear what you want to hear. You grow where you want to grow. Faith comes by hearing. Okay, now I built you up a little bit for this one. If those were the soft verses, here's the fastball from Paul. Here's Romans 14:23. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Oh, that sucks. That's tough. Let me say it in the Message translation. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Whatever's not of faith is sin. That's heavy. But think about that. If I believe in Jesus and I believe that he's my healer, I believe he's my provider, I believe he died on the cross, I believe that I'm the righteousness of Christ. If I believe this, then anything that I do outside of that faith in Jesus, that's living wrong. That's living in sin. And you go, oh my goodness, how could we ever not live in sin? Well, that's why you live from faith to faith. The just live by faith. That's how I live. Because anything outside of that life of faith, Paul, and I didn't say this, don't get mad at me. I didn't write that verse. Paul wrote that verse. If you later today, you're in your diary, mad at me for being too harsh today, take it up with Paul one day in heaven. I'm the messenger, you know what I'm talking about? I'm just passing on the good news that anything outside of faith is sin. The cool thing about this is, catch this, if you don't believe that you're called to be blessed, is that sin? Because faith says I'm blessed. Faith says I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Faith says I prosper in all things as my spirit prospers. Faith claims that I'll walk a blessed life out. So if I'm not believing for blessing and prosperity and abundance in my life, is that sin? See, God wants so much more for us than we even realize. Anything outside of faith is sin. Can I challenge y'all for a second? Have you ever had an authentic faith target? Authentic, meaning true to you, one that you didn't hijack from someone else. Has there ever been a moment in your life that you believed for something that you didn't steal from someone else, but you got it from yourself? See, so many of us and so many of our faith lives and journeys is just hijacking other people's blessings and wanting it for ourselves. Oh, they got a house, I want a house. Oh, they got a car, I want a car. Oh, they went there, I want to go there. Oh, they did that, they got healed and they got healed this way, I want to be healed and I want to be healed the way they got healed. When was the last time, has there ever been a moment where you sent a prayer to heaven and God goes, oh, I've never heard that one before. Let's go. What is this about? Lean into this one. What is that prayer? I've never heard that. That's some authentic faith right there. That's some original faith right there. They're using faith in a way no one else has ever used it before. That gets the ear of God when there's something authentic about the faith. You go, God, I want you to move in my life. I don't want a copy of their life. I want your glory in my life. I want your grace on my life. I want your presence in my life. I want you to bless my business like you've never blessed another business on the planet. I want you to bless my marriage like you've never blessed them. Like I want your health in my life, not like theirs, but like you've called for me to live. Have you ever had an authentic, original prayer of faith? Or are they just copycats of other people's? Do you want that vacation because they had it or because it's the desires of your heart? Do you want to be healed the way God has for you to be healed, or you just want to copy their healing journey? Do you just want their miracle? Do you just want their marriage? Man, I want to get to a place where God goes, that church is asking for something that no one in the history of the Northwest has ever asked. They want a movement, not like a copycat of the South, not like, they don't want to be a Bible Belt of the North. They don't want to be like that church. No, there's a fresh craving for revival and my spirits are moving away no one else has ever hungered for or asked for or looked for. I don't want to copy the church down the street. I don't want to copy the churches in the South. I don't want to copy movements in the past or the history of revivals. I want a fresh touch of God in this church that we've never seen before. I don't want to copy past revivals. I want a fresh move of God in this church. I don't want your marriage. I want God to bless my marriage in an authentic way, in a unique way. Do you live by faith? Do you operate by faith? Do you see by faith? The just live by faith, from faith to faith. Hey, come on, Ben. Come onto the stage. Whenever you want, actually, just between now and the rapture. Here, go with me. Go with me to Romans 13:8. Romans 13, 8, Paul hits this thought of love. I want to kind of finish here because I want to make sure that we don't live so much in the law and the tense unpacking of the law that Paul does through this whole book that we miss the heart of it, where Paul really ends it. He puts such a beautiful bow on this book, starting in Romans 13 on the law of love, and he says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, you shall not, and any other commands are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. John 14, 15 says it this way, Jesus says it this way, if you love me, comma, you will keep my commands. If you love me, then you'll keep my commands. Keeping the commands is a byproduct. It's an afterthought. It's produced out of a love. Jesus is not saying, you better keep my commands if you love me. He's saying, if you love me, you'll naturally keep my commands. See, and Paul in Romans says it this way. If you love, you'll naturally keep all the commands. Why? Because if you love God, then you would never put another God above him. You know, then you just read through the Ten Commandments. You shall not put any other gods before me. Well, if I loved God, in what world would I ever dream of putting someone above him if I love him? And if I love God, I would never take his name in vain because I love you. I would never defile or misuse or speak ill of you. So I wouldn't do it because I'm not supposed to. I do it because I love. And I won't covet what you have because I love you so much. I'm actually excited and happy that you have it. I actually want you to have it more than me. So I won't covet what you have because I'm excited because I love you. I want you to have it. So many of us are living this tense, strict, stifling, rigid Christianity. We're trying to be perfect. But if we just started loving, we would naturally start living it out. Do you think Jesus walked around uptight to not make a mistake? Oh, what would the law have me do? Oh, what the law? Oh, I gotta love and I gotta serve. No, he loved us so passionately that he naturally fulfilled the whole thing. Are you catching this? Just recently, my dad bought my son a little motorcycle, a little dirt bike. Come on, somebody. I love motorcycles. They're from Jesus. He designed them. He made them. He just was like, let me just help you guys out a little bit. I mean, it's worship and motorcycles are parts of the joy of heaven. It's the only thing that he gave us on this side of eternity that are from heaven. Music and motorcycles. And so Levi gets this little dirt bike. He jumps on it instantly, jumps on it, he's gone. Biggest smile on his face. Oh my goodness, he was so lit up. And y'all, by the way, pray for his mom, pray for my wife, because she's a little nervous about him being on a big old motorcycle right now, but it's what it is, you know, he's gotta learn. He's gotta go, you know. I was jacked though. I was like, let's drift this thing, dude. Let's get on it. Let's build a jump. You know, we're six, and I'm like, how hard can you go? What's the top speed, Levi? And he's just ripping this thing around. Oh, it's the best. And, you know, I've had motorcycles for years now. If you've been around here for any amount of time, my dad, I was born, he's like, get on this motorcycle, get going, bro. I was like, I can't walk yet. And he's like, do it, get on the motorcycle. So I've had motorcycles forever, and I've had some great ones. I bought ones, traded, sold. I love it. But I'll be honest with you, I've never once through all of my motorcycles had more joy than when I saw my son excited about his. Now catch this thought. And there wasn't even a fraction of a percentage in me that said, Dad, where's my new motorcycle? Think about that. Dad, are you gonna get me bike? Where's mine? I mean, I'm your actual son. Where's my bike? Kind of doing a lot for you right now. You know, like, is there a second bike coming out? Is there? No, there was no jealousy. There was no coveting. There was no I want. Because I love Levi so much, I want him to have it all. I want him. In fact, it gave me more joy that he had it than if I had gotten something new. I've never had that much joy over my own stuff, but man, have I been excited about him having something. Because I love him. See, when we love, you'll fulfill the whole commandment. All of them. All of them. When you love your wife, you do everything for her. There's not rules you have to follow. Oh, you gotta be faithful. No, I just love her. Like that's all I need. My love for her. My true, see, I don't need to steal to get ahead because I love God. And so I believe that he's my provider. Not the corner that I can cut. Not the thing that I can get away with. I want what's best for you. So I don't envy what you have. I'm not jealous of your trip, of your house, of your car. I'm so excited because you were blessed. See, I'll complete the whole law if I can live in love. Now hear me. This doesn't mean that I just blindly accept the attempt at the devil to redefine what love is and accept that. Let me help pastor us in this moment. The devil can't create anything. He's not creative. God made you in his image so you can create because you're in the image of God. The devil is not, so he can't create anything. The only thing he can do is pervert what's already created. So he attempts to pervert everything God created. And so in his attempt to pervert love, he's attempting to redefine what it is. And then he labels things good things, trying to make you as a godly person have to accept the new definition of what he's attempting to make you live by. So culture will say love is love. Well, yeah, if we're talking about agape love, the way Jesus loved me and died on the cross and paid for my sins, if that's the type of love we're talking about, then yeah, love is love. But if we're trying to redefine what love is and make me accept your delusions, that's no longer love. And so while we're called to live in love, we're not called to blindly accept people's mistakes and delusions. See, can I say it this way? If someone saw themselves as unhealthy, but when you look at them, you clearly see an eating disorder. And your heart breaks for them. And you go, no, you don't see yourself well. Your self-perception of yourself is wrong. If you accept their delusion of themselves as true, you don't love them. You're leaving them in pain. You're leaving them in lies. You're leaving them in hurt. And so just because they claim that, well, I was in the wrong body. I loved the wrong person. That's how I see myself. You have to accept, no. I'm called to love you, and sometimes love costs me. Sometimes love will cost you. And in the journey of truly loving them, you might have to pay a price and say, you might label me as hateful. You may label me as intolerant. You may label me as small-minded. You may label me as not an advocate, but it's because I love you, and the you I love is the you that was created in the image of Jesus. He formed you in your mother's womb. That's who I love. I love a grace-filled, called, redeemed, forgiven. I love you, but I'm not going to love your lies. Sometimes love costs. But if we could be people that live with love. Man, we'll complete every law. Not because we have to, not because we need to, not because it's so hard, but because it comes naturally out of love.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.